Good morning. Wednesday night at 1 o'clock a.m., I lay down on my bed and said, "Speak, Father, thy servant heareth." And when I can remember to do that, the last thing at night, often something is revealed. And no sooner had I rested in that statement, something came to me with such force that I couldn't fall asleep. I sat there pondering it and looking at it. Is this true? Could this be? My God! And yes, this scripture, that scripture, everything seemed to verify and corroborate what had been revealed. And that simple revelation, just really one line, four words, was quite startling. And this talk today is going to be that which was revealed in that split second of receptivity. I consider this talk to be one of the most important I have ever made, and I ask that consciousness guide the words, so that the word may be revealed. And let us begin here. There are two types of flesh. Two types of flesh. There is the flesh that is grass, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven and perishes. And that, of course, is our physical body. We come to the end of our days here on earth. The body is laid aside and it perishes. This is one type of flesh, physical flesh, matter, it's called. And in this flesh, the scientists tell us, are whirling atoms. They tell us that atoms make up everything. And so this physical form, this flesh, is made up of atoms. And I tell you something quite interesting to me. Way back in 1978 or 9, I hopped into a jet airliner, and I flew across the Pacific Ocean to Hawaii, and then I took a smaller plane over to Kauai, and then I drove up to Hanalei Bay, and I pulled into the driveway of Herb Fitch's house. I did this because when I heard one of his talks, I knew I had to spend some time with him. I knew that this was spirit revealing itself through this individual, through this individual's consciousness, or through consciousness appearing as this individual. And so I walked into his house, and we went back to his study, and we had a meditation. And I had not told him, I did not tell him that I was thinking about atoms and their relationship to things. But after the meditation, he said, "I feel I must show you something." And he pulled a book down off of his shelf, and it was a book about atoms. He opened the book and showed me some pictures. And in the first picture, there was a what's called a nucleus, or a neutron and a proton. And in the next picture, there was an electron whirling around the nucleus. And in the next picture, it was shown how most of what makes up an atom is empty space. That this electron whirling around at unimaginable speeds creates the illusion of substance. It creates an illusion of matter. And I can't remember the exact conversation or what Herb said exactly, but I remember the feeling. And it was, atoms are an illusion. And since then, I've taken that and looked at it every which way, and pondered it, and meditated, asked for guidance. And I see clearly now. I understand. Mind appears as atoms. It is mind appearing as flesh. Mind appearing as form. But there is no substance to that form. It is simply mind showing us an image. And even the scientists know that this is correct. I have a book on my shelf called The Zen of Quantum Physics. And I may get some of the terms wrong because I'm not a quantum physicist, but I have the general sense of what that book says. And it states that when they sent some, I believe it was protons, part of an atom, down a tunnel, when they did not watch, it turned to the left. It went down the tunnel and forked to the left. Took the left channel. But when they observed the movement, it took the channel to the right. And scientists, quantum physicists, to their great amazement, discovered atoms and protons, electrons, they respond to the observer. Because they tried this experiment several times, and every time it was the same result. The mind looking at them had an effect. They responded to the observer. And this scientist that wrote this book put forth the hypothesis that that which we see in life responds to our awareness, or our unawareness. In other words, it responds to our state of consciousness. From this, I gathered that mind appears as atoms, which is essentially space, very, very minute particles, which are really mental images and respond to the mind. And so, mind appearing as flesh is the body that dies. You can take an atom. In Texas, there is a huge machine, a huge building, and in it there is an atom smasher. This is how we know that atoms were not created by God, because you could not smash one, nor could you split one with an atomic bomb. I knew a physicist when I was a young man, and he was the man that gave me the first book I ever had of the Infinite Way called The Art of Meditation. Don was his name. And Don was quite an interesting fellow. He was a physicist. He worked for the United States government. He helped work on the project. Is it the Manhattan Project? I can't remember. Anyway, he helped work on the first atomic bomb. And as a physicist, he told me, and I looked in his eyes, he was not lying. He told me that they were divided. Half of the physicists that worked on that project felt that if they split the atom, there would be a limited effect. It would have a stopping point. It would have a chain reaction in other atoms in the universe, but it would stop at a certain level. However, the other half of the physicists, and Don was one of them, were convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt that if you split the atom, it would have a chain reaction throughout the universe until every atom was split. In other words, you would vaporize this entire world of matter. And he was convinced. He suggested that they do not set off the nuclear explosion. But he was overruled by some government people. They set off the nuclear explosion, and it was limited to whatever radius it was at that time, a mile radius or whatever. And he told me he is still convinced it should have vaporized the universe. And I said, well, why hasn't it? And he said he did not know. He thought that maybe God limited it. Well, be that as it may, the point is, atoms are not eternal. They come to an end. Why? Because they are mind-formed, mind-appearing as form. And so there are two types of flesh, and one type of flesh is mind-appearing as atoms, which is then appearing as a physical body, or matter formed. And everyone knows that this material body comes to an end. It is grass. It is dissolved. It goes back into the elements. So, that is the first type of flesh. But there is another type of flesh, and it is called the Word. The Word is made flesh and dwells among us. And this type of flesh is eternal. We read in the original Infinite Way book, the Word becomes flesh, but it is still the Word. It does not change its substance. Out of infinite consciousness comes the Word, and the Word appears as flesh. But when the Word appears as flesh, that flesh is eternal. Consciousness formed, consciousness appearing as form, is eternal life. This is the form that can disappear from inside the temple and reappear outside. This is the form that can walk on the water. This is the form that can levitate, rise above the tree line. This is the form that can disappear in India and appear in Africa. This is the form that consciousness can lay down and pick up again at will. This is the form that Joel referred to in the Wisdoms when he said, if you understood the real nature of life, you could lay down this form and pick it up again at will. This week, some new and strange and wonderful insights have come, and I would like to share them with you today. And so we will do our best to get this across. All right, let's start with the 1959 letters, a portion of it. There are certain principles of the infinite way which an advanced student should know, and which will aid in freeing him from the wheel of life. Now, because of our previous talks, we should understand that the wheel of life is being incarnated into the mind's mental image of a physical life. One of our recent talks, called The Impersonal Life, has to do with stepping out of that mental image and into an impersonal eternal life. And so that's what he's referring to here. An advanced student should know these principles, which will aid in freeing him from the wheel of life. One of the most important of these principles is the principle that we are not in the body. Do you remember that exercise that he gave us? He says it's the only exercise in the infinite way. And that is the exercise where you look down at your toes and you say, am I in these toes? No. Am I in these feet? No. Am I in these ankles, these shins, these knees? And you go on up through your body. Am I in these thighs? Am I in these organs? Am I in the stomach? Am I in the waist, the chest? You remember that exercise? He says to meditate on this until you get the feel that you are not in this body. And so he's assuming that you've done that. When he says, one of the most important of these principles is the principle that we are not in the body. At this moment, that may not seem to be of too much importance. But sooner or later, it will be realized that this is the ultimate and the deepest secret of life. And I am going to show you why today. and the one which produces the highest demonstration of spiritual living. We do not live in our bodies, nor are we the body. I do not inhabit this body. When the first glimmer that you do not live in your body comes to you, it causes you to look yourself up and down, in and out, when you are in meditation, and ultimately it will bring you to the realization, of course, I am not in these knees, in this stomach, in this chest. I am not up here in this brain. I know that I am somewhere else. Eventually, you will begin to realize the nature of that word, I. And you will see that you have been finitizing the word, I. You have been using it in a purely limited personal sense, as if there were an I separate and apart from the I which is you, as if the I which is you were something separate from the I which is my identity. When you catch a tiny glimpse of this truth, that life is not entombed in a body, you will understand the meaning of the resurrection. It is true that Jesus was entombed, that is, entombed, confined in a tomb. Just as today it appears that human beings are confined to their bodies. But when the tomb was opened, was Jesus there? No. He had risen. The Christ, the divine self, could not be entombed. The Christ, your divine self, cannot be entombed in a body. And someday, the realization must come to you, I am not entombed in a body. I never was entombed in a body. I live and move and have my being in God, not in the tomb of a material concept. I abide in the Word of God, and the Word of God abides in me, not in the body. All right. I received a talk this week from someone on mystical principles. It had been typed up, and it fell in beautifully with all of this. And it is a talk by Herb. And he gave another little exercise, which is similar to the one we just looked at. And I would like to repeat that because I tried it and it was wonderful. And so I am assuming you have your eyes closed and you are resting back in and on a sea of consciousness. Now, lift your hands up over your head. Just for a moment, and leave them there, and get a feel of this body from the end of your fingertips to the bottom of your feet, the end of your toes. You see this body, you feel this body. This body was not made by God. This body cannot receive the things of God, is not under the law of God, neither indeed can be. This body that you are feeling right now, this is the mind appearing as form. This is a mental image, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. This is the body in which you do not dwell. So you can put your arms down, and now you have a sense of this body, don't you? This mind appearing as a physical form. But this body, we have already agreed, I am not in this body. You can say this to yourself, I am not in this body. I am not in this form. I am not in this mental image. I am not in this mind picture. Now, Joel told us, the single most important word in the infinite way is consciousness. And in one of his books, it could be The Realization of Oneness, he says this, and you need to listen as you have never listened before. He says, I, myself, am infinite divine consciousness. This is just as true of you as it is of me. And so you can say it to yourself. I, myself, am infinite divine consciousness. And there's a book out with the title, Consciousness is What I Am. Now, I myself am infinite divine consciousness. I am not in this mental image of a body. I have never been in that body. That is a mental image. I am infinite consciousness. That mental image is being presented to my consciousness. And so, I am not in that body. That body is in me, in my consciousness. Infinite divine consciousness, one with the Father. One with infinity. Consciousness, which is what I am, is omnipresence itself. I am omnipresence. And this week it has been revealed to me, omnipresence does not mean I am everywhere. There's another meaning. Omnipresence means everywhere is I. Everywhere is right here in I. Not that I am everywhere, but everywhere is in I. Right here. Everywhere is right here, right now, in I. So what do we have? We have, I myself am infinite divine consciousness. I am omnipresence. And everywhere is right here, right now, in I. And this little mental image, I am not in that. That's made up of nothingness. God did not create it. It was not made. I am not in that. I myself am infinite, omnipresent, divine consciousness. Several years ago, when I had the first glimpse of this, I was attending an infinite way class and we were on break, and I stepped outside and I looked and I saw the waves of the ocean, the Pacific Ocean, and I felt the waves, all of them, inside of my consciousness. And I felt my consciousness inside of the waves. And since there is only one consciousness, it is your consciousness also that is inside the waves and has the waves inside of it. You as consciousness are inside of all that is, and all that is inside of you. You as consciousness are right where that tiny leaf appears to be on the ground, looking up at the clouds far above. You as consciousness are up over the clouds, looking down at the patchwork quilt of our towns and cities. Farther out, you are up above the earth, looking down, as you have seen pictures from the space shuttle and the Hubble Space Telescope. Consciousness is omnipresence, and everywhere is present right now in the I that I am. And I am looking down at planet Earth, and I see the seas and the land, and I see the clouds floating past, and I see the almost an aurora around the planet. And I see the stars in the background, and I see the moon off there on the side. I myself am infinite divine consciousness. And pulling back farther, I see the entire galaxy known as the Milky Way. And I see Mercury and Venus and Earth and Mars. And I see Jupiter and Saturn, Neptune, Uranus, Pluto, and Planet X. And I see the Sun. And I see the meteor belt. I myself am infinite divine consciousness, and all of this is within my consciousness. And I pull back farther, and I look, and I behold galaxies, different shapes and sizes, millions, billions of suns and planets. I see Alpha Centauri. I see Pleiades. I see galaxies. I'm not even aware of their names. And yet I know their name. I. All of this is in my consciousness, and I am seeing all that I am. And I pull back farther, and I discover there are multiple universes, parallel universes. And I am in each, and each is in I. I myself am infinite divine consciousness. Infinite. There is no end to what I am. And I look and behold, there are other dimensions. And I am on this plane. This plane is contained in my consciousness. And so are the other planes. The astral plane, spiritual planes, heavens. I knew a man once, says Paul. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, but he was in the seventh heaven. And so there are a multitude of states of heaven, states of consciousness. In my Father's house are many mansions, and all of these mansions are in my Father consciousness, the consciousness that I am. And so I discover that there is no space because all of this is contained in my consciousness right here, right now. Omnipresence from one point of view means that I am everywhere. But from this new point of view, everywhere is here in the I that I am. And before I can even take this much of infinity in, I make the discovery that before Abraham was, I am. And I discover that this does not mean once upon a time I was. Oh no. No. Omnipresence means everywhere is right now in my consciousness. Everywhere, right here, right now. And it means every when is right here, right now in my consciousness. Before Abraham was, I am right now. Right now, before Abraham was, I am. Right now in my consciousness is the 17th century, the 15th, the 12th, 300 AD, 200 BC. O God, reveal to me the glory I had with thee before the world was, for I am there right now. And so, before the world was, before these mental images, before this mind creation of an earth, of matter, before this was ever made, before this was ever thought of, the glory I had with God is right now in my consciousness. I, right now in my consciousness, am before the world was. And I shall be with you unto the end of the world. And after the end of this world, I am. Not I will be. Before the world was, right now is in my consciousness, and I am standing there. And after the world ends, I am right now, and I am standing there in my consciousness. I myself am infinite divine consciousness. I am infinite. Everywhere is present right now within my consciousness. Every when is present right now within my consciousness. And every one is present right now within my consciousness. The consciousness that appeared as Moses is right here in my consciousness, for we are one. The consciousness that appeared as Paul is right here now in my consciousness, for we are one. The consciousness that appeared as Yeshua, Jesus, right here, right now in my consciousness. The consciousness that appeared as Joel is right here, right now, in my consciousness. I am everywhere. I am everywhen. I am everyone. My oneness with consciousness constitutes my oneness with all that is, all that was, all that ever will be, is right now in my consciousness, for these are one consciousness. I myself am infinite divine consciousness, and omnipresence is in my consciousness. Everywhere, everywhen, everyone, I am. Wednesday night, as I lay down to go to sleep, I asked, Father, speak, for thy instrument heareth. And this came to me. I myself am infinite divine consciousness. I am everywhere. I am everywhen. I am every one, and these are all one, and that one is I am. And then, so quietly I almost missed it, I heard this. I am not in a body, a mental image. I am everywhere. I am every when. I am every one. I am omnipresent and I am infinite. And I am not incarnated. And I sat up and I stared into the darkness. Oh my God. I am not incarnated. I am not incarnated. I am not incarnated. I have never incarnated. I cannot reincarnate. Everywhere, everywhen, everyone, I, infinite I, cannot be confined in the tomb of mortality. I am not in that tomb. I am outside of that tomb. I have never been entombed. I cannot be entombed. I cannot be incarnated. I myself am infinite divine consciousness. I cannot be entombed. Look, look again. I am outside of that. I was never born. I cannot die. It's time to rise up into that which I am. I myself am infinite divine consciousness. I am not in a tomb called mortality. That is a mental image. A nothingness. I am outside of it. I am everywhere. I am everywhen. I am all that is. I am that I am. And I am the Word appearing as form. And my form is eternal. Made of my substance, of the substance that I am. And I can lay it down and pick it up again. And I can move it outside of this building. I can move it through walls. I can move it to other planets. I, yes, even I am God. There is no other. Now, your job, my job, as the awakening ones, are to step out of mortality and into the immortality of our own consciousness. Let us look at something I saw for the first time this week. This is from a 1980 class given by Herb. And he says, everything up to this moment has been all a part of your preparation to make a decision so earth-shattering, so unexpected, that only the most dedicated student of truth would even dare to accept the challenge that this decision requires. The supreme gift of all, the transition from a temporary creature to the full realization of the eternal Son of God while walking the earth. This mortal illusion is a stone that must be rolled away. It is the paradox that prevents you from living now in your infinite kingdom, the kingdom of God. You must realize your identity is spirit. You are now spirit, and spirit does not and cannot live in a human body. Spirit, we know, is the ancient's way of saying consciousness. Your identity is spiritual consciousness. You are now spiritual consciousness. And spiritual consciousness does not and cannot live in a human body. Spirit lives in a spiritual body. And so, until you are living consciously in your spiritual body, which is everywhere, every when, and everyone, then you are rejecting your identity as spiritual consciousness, and the result will be division, duality, and separation, which is a violation of divine rule, and from it flows the absence of the power of God. Finally, after problems that seemed endless, after mountains and valleys, that will bring you the experience of death and reincarnation. Seems like a rather stupid end to life, doesn't it? You may wonder about it, about why we have persisted in living in this wheel of reincarnation, and ask ourselves, what can we do about it? And why has the world not done it up until now? We must admit to ourselves that there are very, very few teaching on this earth that dare to face the cause of human failure and human death. But to you it must become as plain as the nose on your face. There's only one reason. Man does not live in the body that God gave him. And you and I have the option to do something about that. We are discovering why God is no respecter of persons, why they that are in the flesh cannot please God, why the flesh profiteth nothing. To live in a body of flesh that dies, or to live in spiritual consciousness that is imperishable, this is your decision. It's either accept or reject your own spiritual consciousness. And until you make that decision, you should know you're walking on a high trapeze with no netting below. Human beings who have not developed the capacity to live in their spiritual consciousness are called dead. Dead branches, which are cut off and withereth. For them, the transition is impossible, for they have no realized spiritual consciousness. So you see, the choice between transition or reincarnation is up to you. You have been given the power to decide whether you will be a dead corpse, which reincarnates, or whether you will make your transition into the kingdom of God. Now, we are seeing, finally, at last, that Joel, that Herb, that Jesus, Paul, John, have all told us that we must make this transition. We must step out of the belief that we have ever been entombed in a mortal existence. And we must come now up higher into the conscious awareness of infinite divine consciousness. Everywhere, every when, and all one. This is what I am. And you can say it to yourself. I myself am infinite divine consciousness. And now in your meditations, it's time to consciously step out of the mind appearing as form and come up into the spirit, spiritual consciousness, the word forming itself. One is mortal and comes to an end. One is eternal, right here, right now, on earth as it is in heaven. Which one do you want to live in? I tell you another secret that was revealed to me this week. I say it is a secret, but I'm sure that there are many that have known it. It has been a secret to me because I didn't see it until this week, not consciously. And that secret revealed to me this week is this. We are making the transition, coming out of the mind and into spiritual consciousness. We are moving from the mind to the spirit. If you recall in Beyond Words and Thoughts, in the chapter Truth Unveiled, we were told plainly that the ascension is always the same, rising above the mind to the experience of truth itself. And so the transition, my friends, for all of us, is moving out of the mind's mental images of mortality into spirit's recognition of infinite divine consciousness, appearing as eternal forms. This is the transition. It's done within you. You must lay down this false life and pick up your immortal identity. And you must do it consciously. And so in your meditations, in my meditations, Let us begin to do just this. Let us start with the recognition that this body is a mental image, not made by God. It is already nothingness. Let us move to the truth that I myself am infinite divine consciousness, everywhere, every when, all one I am. Let us be still and watch I am reveal itself. Let us be quiet and listen to the I am speaking the word. Let us enter the silence. Let us take and really practice ceasing from this image of man whose breath is in his nostrils and enter the silence completely empty of that mortal existence. Let us stand still and see the I am reveal itself. And this is what came this week. And I tell you, it startled me to make the discovery that I myself am infinite divine consciousness and I am not incarnated. That was an experience like John told us would come in Revelation, where he said everything will be shaken out of its place. I'm telling you, it was an earthquake. And if you catch this, it will shatter some things. It will shatter the belief in mortality. I myself am infinite divine consciousness. I am omnipresence. I cannot incarnate. I am not incarnated right now. Right now, right here, I am not incarnated. Oh my God, then what is this? If not I. I myself am infinite divine consciousness. I am omnipresence itself. I am omniscience. I am omnipotence. I am that I am. I am not incarnated. I have never incarnated. I never will incarnate. Now be done with that. Be done with that. And accept who you are. I am consciousness. Those that have attained this level of consciousness have left us the records we have, so that we may go and do likewise. And it was said also in this letter from Herb that this is receiving the purple robe of Christ consciousness, and that Joel received this purple robe just before he disappeared from sight. And all of us must receive the purple robe of Christ consciousness. This is our only destiny. This is our one goal. This is our inheritance. Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine, because all that I am, thou art. Because now you know, thou art, I am.